Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. I would like for us this evening to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 6. Hebrews 12, 6. The Scripture declares, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask You this evening to bless Your Word. Lord, I pray You'd bless the Word accomplishing that which You've eternally purposed. Calling out of Your sheep, comforting Your people. Lord, help us to worship for Christ's sake. Amen. The writer to the Hebrews penned the words that we looked at last evening under the inspiration of God's Spirit and said, You've forgotten that Almighty God is speaking to you. You've forgotten the exhortation, the words of comfort and solace. You've forgotten these words which speaketh continually unto you as unto children. You've forgotten that God is talking to you as His children. That He's not speaking in wrath. He's not speaking in anger. He's speaking to you in absolute love. As children. Children of God. You who by the grace of God have come to Christ by faith. You who have been born again. Born from above. He says, My son, you who are a son, adopted son, new birth certificate, born of God, born by grace, accepted in the Beloved, redeemed from the guilt and the penalty of sin. You who have no condemnation being in Christ Jesus. You who are at peace with God. Who have the assurance and comfort in your heart. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Don't have little esteem for it. Don't faint, don't sink in despair when thou art rebuked of Him, when you're convicted and admonished and reproved and taught. Here's the reason. For whom the Lord loveth, and He does not love everybody, but those that He does love. Those that He's everlastingly loved. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. There's a little song that I remember growing up. We would sing this, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." Well, now I know this. Only a regenerated sinner can sing that. I know that. I mean, it sounds good and it sounds, you know, something you want to hear little kids singing and things like that. I don't know about that song. But I can tell you one thing that I do know. I do know that a believer knows God's love for him by chastisement. That's the mark of God's love. Whom the Lord loveth, how do you know? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives in Christ. Every son he brings to himself. And this chastisement, this scourging, he knows what's best. I know how we think. We think, oh, as I said last week, he's just waiting. He's just waiting for the right time. And I know I'm going to get blindsided. I know that is the most disrespectful thing that we could say unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We have a distorted view of God's love. We think that must be, what kind of love is that? What kind of love? Let me tell you something before I continue in this. I thought of a little example the other day, and I was sharing it with a dear friend. And this, whenever I would go somewhere, I'd be going somewhere, and I had four kids, bop, 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 2 years apart. And we'd be out somewhere, be in a crowd, and this is how, this is my job. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, uh-uh. Come here. Come here. Back here. Back here. That's chastisement. That's chastisement. It is when God's people desire to go their way. I want to go over here and look at this. This is interesting to me. No, come here. Come here. I want to watch you. I want to keep my eyes on you. That's how I deal with my... That's chastisement. Now, many times they didn't like it. But I want to go over here. I want it... No, you come right here. This is where you are. You're going to go the way I want you to go. You know, I'm not going to leave you to... I'm not going to leave you to go where you want to go. That is chastisement. You say, well, that's chastisement? I mean, some of the things that I've suffered and gone through, that's chastisement? That's loving chastisement? That's all it is. Paul says these light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Oh, compared to Almighty God saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Cast him into hell. Depart out of my presence. I have never looked upon you in mercy. Never looked upon you in grace. Depart. To say, here, come back here, right here. You come right here into my presence. Right here where I can see you. Right here where I can look on you. That's chastisement. Light afflictions. And we don't have any idea how. How's the best way? How is the best way? In 2 Samuel 24, I'll just tell you this story for sake of time. David numbered the people. And God was going to chasten him. God was going to deal with him. And the Lord gave him a choice. He said, because you've done what you've done, I'm going to give you three things to choose from. And you choose which one you want, David. For numbering the people. And the Lord knew He numbered them so that David could say, well, this is how much strength I've got. Look how powerful I am. He didn't trust God. Do you want 7 years of famine? Do you want to flee 3 months before your enemies? Or do you want 3 days of pestilence? Now you choose. David wisely said, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. And God gave him 3 days of pestilence and killed 70,000 men. Light affliction. Light affliction. You said 70,000 men in light of eternal judgment? Anything this side of hell is mercy. Grace. He may chasten his people openly, like he did David. He may do it privately. He may do it just David and one other maybe. When David was exposed for his sin, falling into sin with Bathsheba, the chastisement of the Lord. Now, this is chastisement. David, Nathan said, you're the man. David knew he was the man. He knew he was the man. And that chastening word broke his heart. And he penned under the inspiration of God's Spirit, for I acknowledge, Psalm 51:3, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Maybe the Lord will chasten him that way. Maybe the Lord will chasten him and it's in complete silence. I've told you so many times, Brother Maurice Montgomery telling me God will put a man on a limb sometime and make him think he's going to leave him there. If you've never felt that way, you that know him, you may. You may. I'm telling you, from experience, as the Lord is my witness, there was a time in my life where I went through about a year and a half, that point to where my kids even told me, said, Dad, you're not the same. Grieving, wondering whether Almighty God would leave me to myself. David felt that very pain in his heart. And he said, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a constant spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, the pain, the chastisement, the scourging, when Almighty God makes a man think he's going to leave him alone. Somebody said, well, I've never experienced that. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. But I'm telling you, it's lonely. It's lonely. You have no place to go. No place. A believer doesn't despise the chastening of the Lord. The trials hurt. They're grievous, Paul says. They are grievous. But they're thankful. God's people are thankful for the correction. They're aware of the offense and they confess and desire to forsake it. I don't want to disobey Him. I don't want to be disrespectful of Him. Now, you know, we talk about for whom the Lord loveth. And again, look at those ETHs. He's always loved them. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and chasteneth and chasteneth and scourgeth every son that He receiveth and receiveth and receiveth. A believer is continually going through chastisement. Now listen. Listen. You're continually going through chastisement. Every time we've talked about here trying to pray, trying to read, and the convicting power of Almighty God that tells you how in yourself wayward you are, that's chastisement. I know it. How do I know it? The Spirit of God told me. Scourged you. Lord. Oh, Lord, if you marked iniquity. Lord, if you dealt with me on the basis of this attempt at prayer. Lord, if you dealt with me on the attempt to stand and preach. Lord, if you marked iniquity. And Lord, you know. You know what I've thought. You know what I've done. We talk about scourging. Whom the Lord loveth, chasteneth, scourgeth. When did this start? We think, well, we were converted and somehow along the line we kind of got to a point where we decided it's got to get a little wayward. So later on in life, it started at conversion. A pattern, Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:16, a pattern of conversion was Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. That was a pattern of how God saves His people. Saul of Tarsus was an arrogant Pharisee on the road to Damascus. Going the way he wanted to go. This is what he wanted to do. And Almighty God, turn to Acts 9. Almighty God stopped him. Stopped him dead in his tracks. He had letters of authority. This is what I'm going to do. And in Acts 9, verses 3 to 6, this is what the account says. Acts 9, 3 to 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard. It's obstinate. It's foolish to resist the one who commands. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know what just happened right there? Everyone that the Lord loveth, He scourgeth, chasteneth, every son that He receiveth. Saul! Saul! Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. The one you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the bricks. The Lord was not going to leave Saul, and He's not going to leave any that He has eternally loved to their own way. He's not going to do it. God loved him, therefore He chastened him and scourged him on the road to Damascus and called him by grace. Why? Because he had received him in Christ. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. I want you to take your Bible. Turn to 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. If you have a Bible that has the margin in the middle, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. The word train there is catechize. Teach. Catechize. Train up a child in the way he should go. The way he should go, actually, the way that the Hebrew is written right there, and it's interpreted for us in the margin that I have, the way he should go, which I've found to be the way that it's actually said, train up a child in his way. Train up a child in his way. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now that verse of Scripture can mean only one of three things. Train up a child or catechize a child and leave a child to his own way. Train up a child and let him think that his way is right. Leave a child to himself and just say, do whatever you want to do. You make up your own mind. You make your own decisions. Exercise your own free will. Train up a child in his way. That's the wording. Train up a child in his way. When he's old, he will never come to a point to where he'll say, you know, this is just not right. Maybe I ought to change my attitude. Train up a child. Catechize a child. Give a child the ability or the thought that his way's best. And he'll never change. It either means that, or it means train up a child in the way the parent thinks that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Or it means train up a child in the way God says he should go. And when he's old, the Scripture says he will not depart from it. Now, I know that there's something dogmatic about that last verse right there, last part. He will not depart from it. It's emphatic. The only one that's consistent with the Scriptures is the first one. Leave a child to his way. His way. And when he's old, he won't change. You leave him to himself, and he won't change. Too many have raised up their children under the sound of the gospel, and when they were old, they did not go the way of the Lord. Train up a child in his way. Leave him to himself. And when he's old, he will not change. Let a child think. Teach him to experience life for himself. He'll never change on his own. Almighty God must. Now that does not relieve the responsibility that we have to train up our children. The Scripture says, Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You teach them that which is right. But just because you do, does not mean that God's going to be obligated to show them mercy. You leave a child to himself, he'll never change. You trust God with him. Eli, the old prophet, had two boys. And these boys, go back and read the account. I mean, they did some awful things. Awful. Nasty things. Nasty things. And Eli did not chastise them. Scourge them. Left them alone. And God killed them. God killed them. Chastisement begins at conversion, and it continues until we leave this world. You listen, Paul on the road to Damascus, chastised, scourged on that road. Saul, you stop. You stop. You're wrong. You're mine. I'm going to show you what you must do. And God stopped him. Started right there in conversion. And Paul, the apostle, went through his life and penned these words in Romans 7. The one who was scourged and scourged and scourged, one who was loved eternally and eternally scourged. And here's Paul, the man that Almighty God used to pen much of the New Testament. And this is what Paul said. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Scourging, scourging, scourging. You will never, this side of the grave, you that know Him, not be scourged. Not be chastised. God Almighty is going to teach us. But here's the reason that we're to instruct and discipline our children. Because God disciplines His. This is the reason. The Scripture says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Spiritually thinking, aren't you glad that God didn't do that to you? Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction of this Word, blessed by God's Spirit, to that child, that object of God's mercy. I know physically, humanly, we are to discipline our children. Just as the Lord, by the rod of His conviction and power, chastises us and doesn't leave us to ourselves. Why? Because foolishness is bound in our heart. You correct your children. I just love my children too much, though. I just the thought of taking, take a rod, a belt. Don't hit them with your hand. Caress them with your hand. Love them with your hand. Take a rod, Scripture says. Take a belt. Take a little paddle. Take a spoon. You say, man, I don't know, Marvin. We ought to obey God rather than men. I'll tell you right now. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Quickly. Quickly. When he does it, discipline him. Discipline him. Oh, the mercy of Almighty God that chastened me. And he does now, before the vapor of this life was over. And as far as I know, he's talking about Saul of Tarsus being on the road to Damascus. The Scripture bears out that there were others there with him. There were other people there with him. Paul says, talking about those, he said, they heard something, but they didn't hear what Saul of Tarsus heard. They heard something. As far as we know, as far as the Scripture reveals, there was only one to whom the Lord scourged and chastened that day. As far as we know, there was one there that God loved. There was one there that God received. And God stopped him and chastened him. And the others went their merry way. To refrain from discipline a rebellious, unruly child, humanly speaking, or for God Almighty to leave a man or a woman to themselves, to their way, to catechize them in their way and leave them to think that their will, their way, their thoughts, their works is the way, is death. But to refrain from disciplining a rebellious, unruly child is to say, I do not love you. I don't love you. Withhold not correction. And every one of these verses of instruction on disciplining children, look at it spiritually. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him, and it doesn't mean abuse, it means to correct him. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Withhold it from him spiritually, and he will. He'll go his way, rebelling against God. Oh, how clearly does a believer begin to see the wisdom of the love of God in chastisement. It's the way of the Lord. To chasten me, to stop me in my tracks, and to call me out of darkness, to show me what I am, to tell me I'm not who I think I am. I'm not almighty. What the world calls love in the withholding of correction, Almighty God reveals that to be hatred. Withhold it is not love for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Thanks be unto God that the Lord would stop us on our road to Damascus and call us by His grace and mercy and to reveal to us every day, oh wretched men that you are. Who's going to deliver you from the body of this death? I have and I will. For Christ's sake, amen.